It may be desperation. Here comes Stoyan, the big kibosh! The big kibosh! It's goodnight, Irene! It's goodnight, Irene! Stoyan, Koprivlensky, Mike Passanier! They win the K1 Max! Can you believe it? Can you believe it? We crown the king! Mike Passanier finally has a K1 Max champion!
It's the official K1 podcast, K1 Battlecast.
Oh, it's a slugfest!
You'll get news, fight reviews, and fighter interviews.
Oh, the best of us!
And now, your hosts, Michael Chaverot and Jonathan Scheer.
It's good night, Irene!
Welcome to K1 Battlecast, everyone. I will be your host today, Jonathan Scheer. And if you're missing somebody's voice that you're accustomed to, Michael Chiavello, he is globetrotting around the world this week doing something cool, I'm sure. And I'm going to be here just picking up the pieces of my life after the amazing July 7th K1 World Max 2024 finals. It was a spectacular event. And if you were listening to the introduction there, you got a sense that today's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to take you through a ringside viewpoint of all the drama that happened on that night. And on the day of an event, we have everything in place. The lights are there. The cameras are set up. Everything but the action has been put in place. And then the fog of war creeps in, and you just don't know what's going to happen. And there's a lot of drama that takes place backstage. There were some last-second replacements because of injuries, and no fighters walking off, thankfully, this time. But yeah, there was just some incredible upsets. People that we thought were a shoo-in to win were taken out early, and those other fighters, there was a couple other situations were totally unexpected, went on to do some great, great work that night. And I'd like to just take you through the roller coaster ride that was July 7th. So buckle up and stay with me for this special backstage pass edition of K1 Battlecast. And it is the road to the 2024 K1 World Max Championship. And I wouldn't want you to miss one second of it. So here we go. We're going to start with the first match of the event, which was Buakaw versus Stoyan Koprivlensky. Now, just to remind you, Koprivlensky was a late replacement for the reigning welterweight champion, Ouyang Feng, who was out with an injury. And so Stoyan came in to replace him. But he would be facing none other than the two-time World Max champion, Buakaw Banchamek. And let me tell you, it was an incredible showdown. Don't want to keep you waiting one second longer. Here we go, the first quarterfinal of the night. Stoyan Koprivlensky versus Buakaw Banchamek.
It is a moment beyond the wildest imaginations. Buakaw about to return to the house he built. He first won the K1 Max title exactly 20 years ago to the day, July 7, 2004. It was a different time, a different world. George W. Bush was president. Mark Zuckerberg had just launched Facebook from his dorm room. Janet Jackson's Super Bowl moment stunned the world. And Buakaw stunned K1 Max with a fighting style it had never seen. His dominance was so profound, they changed the rules. But it didn't matter. 2 years later, in 2006, Buakaw won the title again.
Hey everyone, just want to let you know that we're going to have to cut out the entrance music for all the fighters because we don't want to get copyright struck, so we're going to jump right to the beginning of the round. Imagine the wonderful entrance music of both Stoyan Koprivlensky and Buakaw, and here we go.
If the hairs on your arms are bristling, if the butterflies in your stomach are flapping their wings, embrace the feeling. Savor the moment. Revel in the nostalgia. This has never happened in any other sport. It may never happen again. This, a moment to remember. Where were you? How were you feeling when Buakaw made his return to K1 Max? And Stoyan Koprivlensky of Bulgaria defeat the legend and claim his spot in the semi-finals. Look out for the high kicks on Stoyan. Magnificent flexibility. And Stoyan Koprivlensky of Bulgaria to defeat the legend and claim his spot in the semi-final. Oh, the Prajet armbands around the biceps of Borgau. Michael Schiavello, Stuart Fulton with you. Koprivlensky comes out jabbing. Look out for the lead leg of Borgau and also those dangerous hands. Check from Borgau. Counters with an outside leg kick and a teep off the lead leg. Nice high guard from Borgau. Stop. Koprivlensky will go head hunting with the round kicks. He's going to stay on his bike. Move around. Maybe try and draw Borgau to deep water. Body shot from Borgau off the lead hand. Stoyan. Tight guard. Another teep off the lead leg from Borgau. We all know that weapon, Stuart.
Oh, yes. We know it very, very well. Look at this, coming in with the pressure, with the knees now trying to force Koprivlensky into the corner, but he does the right thing and it pivots out.
The lead leg teep of Borgau is designed to be both offensive and defensive. It can keep opponents at bay, but also the way he digs the balls of feet into the guts of opponents can hurt. And already we see reddening marks around the midsection of Stoyan Koprivlensky. Nice lean back there from Borgau. Fires the 1-2, the two lands. Koprivlensky needs to use his reach here. Got to stay smart. Cannot fight inside a phone booth against Borgau.
Yeah, Koprivlensky has wicked head kicks. And when he sets them up, they're very, very dangerous.
When Borgau throws the right leg, he will tend to chamber the kick and drop his lead hand. That may be a chance for Stoyan to counter. Slips to the outside of the jab, throws a knee to the ribs, does Borgau. It's classic Borgau so far. Good jab, Koprivlensky again though, eats the front kick, body shot, belly button through the back, no knockdown, says the referee. Jab again from Koprivlensky. Double forearms guard against the round kick. Wild overhand right to a liver shot from the Bulgarian. Planting left hand. Lean back and counter from Borgau. Under a minute to go, first round. Borgau, a little bit of manhandling. Short, dirty knee on the inside. You aren't allowed to clinch a knee under K1 rules. You can knee all you like, but you can't clinch.
Borgau back in here. It's still hard to believe, but look at him. It looks like he hasn't missed a day.
Spinning back fist and then lean back to defend against two punches from Stoyan. The way he frames off that lead arm as well, Borgau to set up the right hand. High kick from the tie. Koprivlensky looking for the counter right hand. Borgau on the outside. Spinning back fist from the Bulgaria. Head kick. And another one. Trying to crack the forearms of Koprivlensky.
And that's when there was a moment of confusion, because both fighters thought that the round was over, but it was the clacker signifying that there were 10 seconds left. So they turned around, faced off one more time to try to get a couple extra points, and were sent back to their corners when the actual bell rang.
Stuart, your thoughts, your scorecard after one.
Oh, it's official. Borgau is back in here, and he is looking tougher than ever. I have to say, he controlled much of that first round there. He was dealing with a very, very tough Koprivlensky, as we know, the man who came back into the tournament today, replacing the injured Ouyang Feng on the merit of his performance in March. But Borgau, just take a look at some of this.
Borgau told us yesterday the power of Muay Thai will prevail against Stoyan. Muay Thai, one of the oldest martial arts in the world. The history of Muay Thai dates back thousands of years, and you see Borgau's wearing the Prajet armband around the biceps. Traditionally, they were made by tearing a piece of a mother's sarong and wrapping it around her son's arm for good luck when he went out on the battlefield. Second round of action. Unofficially, will go 10-9 Borgau in the opening round. But Stoyan giving a very good account of himself.
Round two.
Second of three. One extra round in case of a draw. Early check off the lead leg there by Borgau. A second one. Inside, outside fire from Stoyan. Nice jab from the Bulgarian. High check from Borgau. Didn't check the second. Cracks that lead thigh. Nice kick to the upper left ribcage from Borgau. Teep to the midsection. Leans back out of the way of the hook. gets on the outside of the jab. The head movement of Borgau has always been superb. Never presents himself in a straight line, Borgau, and again evading. Where's a high kick from Stoyan? Didn't quite have the pivot on the lead foot, Stoyan, to talk the hips over on that round kick. But as I said, Borgau does tend to drop that lead hand. It may be the opening for Stoyan. Now, once again, this is a tournament. Borgau had intended to try and get Koprivlinsky out of here early, but we're past the midway point in the second round, and both men have taken some punishment. Dump there from Borgau. One score for him under K1 rules. He is cautioned by the referee, but it does mean that Koprivlinsky needs to pick himself up off the canvas, a little mentally deflating.
Yeah, it's a psychological point, that referee Toyonaga having a word with him there following that. It's not going to win any points, but they are going back at it in the kicking range now.
High kick from Koprivlinsky. He knows where his bread is buttered. Stoyan, smack bang between the eyes with the right hand. And Borgau, where's the punch? Sweat flew off the brow of the tie.
Oh, he got clipped there with a 1-2. Rocked him back a little bit, but stays composed.
Borgau's dropping that left arm. He's got to keep it up. You see Stoyan coming over the top with a straight right. Borgau's left is... No! That's what happens! His left hand is low, and Stoyan caught him.
The left hand's
been low, Stuart, and he caught him. Knocked down for Stoyan.
Touched him there with that kick. Upstairs. Closing seconds of the round, though.
You can see it in the opening round. The left hand's low. And Stoyan has spotted it. Big Mike spotted it between rounds, no doubt. It's a 10-8 round for Stoyan Koprivlinsky.
Michael had called it. He'd prophesized it. He said moments before that if Borgau did not keep up his guard, he was going to get caught, and get caught he did by a stiff left jab followed by a tremendous roundhouse kick to the jaw, which saw the former champion fall to the canvas momentarily before he got up, dusted himself off, and just was shaking his head in disbelief. Now, the first round went unofficially to Borgau, 10-9. Both Stuart and Michael said that they felt he had applied more pressure during that first round. But with this latest development, it was now Borgau that had to prove that he deserved to win. And we went into a third round not knowing what was going to happen. Here's how it panned out.
Third and final round, 10-8 round for Stoyan Koprivlinsky, 19-18 to the Bulgarian on our unofficial scorecards after two. Borgau's got to keep that left hand up, and he's got to go for broke now. If Borgau wins this final round 10-9, we may be going for an extension. Stoyan will be oozing with confidence out of every pore right now. Oh, the head kick again, this time off the lead leg. Borgau goes his own head kick. Stoyan now, switch kicking off the lead leg as opposed to the right leg. Borgau's going to cover both sides of the head. Jab from Stoyan. He's jabbing and circling into the power side, though, of Borgau. But where do you go against Borgau? You know the power in the left leg as well if you drift off to your right. There's a front kick from Stoyan off the ropes. Borgau digging to the liver. Stoyan using the range on that lead hand. Overhand right, didn't turn the knuckles over, nor in the second one. This is a confidence fight from Stoyan Koprivlinsky.
Stoyan Koprivlinsky is so hungry. It's like he hasn't eaten for weeks coming in here, facing the man that he grew up watching in the K1 ring.
Big time from Borgau. Going to get another caution from the referee. Is there frustration creeping in on Borgau? Looks for the counter. Didn't find it. 1 minute 35 remains in this fight. How taste my feet, says Stoyan, an insult to a Thai fighter, to kick them in the mouth with a front kick. Body shot from Borgau. There's the right hand from Stoyan. The left was low again on Borgau. Big Mike Pasanir in the corner of Stoyan is barking at him, screaming at him. He's going to burst a blood vessel. 1:10 remaining. Gut-punching knee from Borgau, tried to fold him like origami. Front kick off the lead leg and a high left round from Borgau. Gets on the inside of the right cross.
What a way to kick off this tournament. We are in round three and these two men are still going at it like there's no tomorrow.
Stoyan taken down and Borgau went to side control, but it was the wrong sport. Counter right hand from Stoyan. Short knee on the inside. 40 seconds remaining. And likewise, Borkow's corner are begging him to come forward to turn on the pressure. And here he comes now. Thumping right hand from Stoyan. Knee Borkow. Can't flinch a knee though. Referee's going to warn him. You hear Mike Pastaneo saying he's getting a warning now for the clinch and knee.
With the rules against clinching in K1, the situation actually favored Stoyan, who seemed to be always on his front foot and pushing Buakaw physically back the entire time. The frustration was clearly building in the Thai fighter's face, and he was starting to resort to dumping Stoyan to the mat more than once, and it earned him a caution from the judges. Here we go.
Borkow cannot afford to lose a point here. Just a warning, no point deduction. He cannot afford to lose a point. Borkow takes the right hand. This is a wonderful fight from Stoyan Koprivlensky. Final 10 seconds. Spinning back fist. Borkow covered against in the high left round. Borkow trying to unload a heavy salvo in the dying stages. We are going down to the judges. The question is, did Borkow take the final round? If he did, we may go an extension. If he didn't, it will be Stoyan. How did the judges see it? Mike Pastaneo saying, hands up, Stoyan. Show the world we won it. Wherever you're watching, folks, how do you score it? We can go an extension round.
Judge
30-28. One for Stoyan.
Judge 30-27.
30-27. I had a 29-27 for Stoyan. He's done it. He has done it. Stoyan Koprivlensky defeats Borkow by unanimous decision. Unofficially, we had Borkow 10-9 first, Stoyan 10-8 second, Stoyan edging it in the third 10-9, and Stoyan Koprivlensky, who replaced Ouyang Feng, the pre-tournament favourite, advances to the semi-finals. For Borkow, the dream of becoming a three-time match champion is over.
And that was it. Buakaw's chances of moving on had been crushed, and I slumped back in my seat, and I just had to let go of all that anticipation and excitement about a possible three-time victory and move on, as did everyone else, to the next fight. Now, I don't mean to take anything away from Stoyan's victory, because he had shown such incredible heart and incredible determination, but we had to move on to the next bout, and that was between the big scorching mosquito, Dengue Silva from Brazil, and the beautiful werewolf, Daryl Verdonk from the Netherlands.
Brazil versus the Netherlands. Dengue Silva versus Daryl Verdonk. Quarterfinal number two for the right to fight Stoyan Koprivlensky in semi-final number one. 13 centimeters separate them. They have a combined 60% knockout ratio. It's Muay Thai versus Dutch kickboxing. A skyscraper versus a bomb shelter. Long-range missiles against landmines, a fantasy fight come to reality in the K1 Max. Verdonk, who has put on size in his upper body, the plan is to get inside and bang and cripple the body of Dengue Silva. Early hook to a cross there from Silva. Got to use the reach, got to be smart here, Dengue. Verdonk's going to bide his time to get on the inside. Nice inside leg kick. There is power in everything Daryl Verdonk throws. Overhand left, big right hand. The heavy artillery early on from Verdonk.
Somehow, even though Daryl Verdonk is going headhunting hard against Silva the whole time, the big scorching mosquito is always able to dance away. And it is a theme that is repeated multiple times this fight.
Looking for the headache maker, the head kick, fakes the back leg, doubles up on that fake, does Dengue, now throws it to the lead thigh of Verdonk. Verdonk wants to position the lead foot to the outside of Dengue's lead foot to employ the right hand. Public enemy number one against the southpaw. Now Dengue switches to orthodox. Back to southpaw, back to orthodox. Switching stars to try and confound Daryl Verdonk. Verdonk shots to the carcass in the corner. Dengue pushes him off. Backtracks here, a little moonwalk across the ring from Dengue Silva. Big overhand right, the cranium cracker from Daryl, but Dengue shrugs it off. Rip kick, Daryl goes downstairs, left hook misses, upended himself. Jab to right there from Dengue Silva. Verdonk goes the body, almost hit the kidneys. Wild's uppercut went higher than the ring lights. Verdonk looking to get on the inside again, thrusts out the jab, tucks the chin, looking through the brow. Right hook from Dengue, circles off to his right, away from the power side of that from Daryl Verdonk. The right hand of the Dutchman, big body shot from Verdonk, then goes upstairs with a hook, short right hand to the jaw. Dengue does a quick count of his teeth and circles to center ring. Now backs himself against the ropes. Overhand left from Daryl. Jumping knee from Dengue Silva. High kick, no power behind it. And a good front kick right on the bell from Dengue Silva.
The unofficial scorecard at this point is 10-9 in favor of Verdonk. He is doing some insane damage to Dengue's body. He's been cracking him with all kinds of hooks into the body, into the head. And I keep seeing Dengue almost fall over, but each time he hits the ropes. Is it possible that a fighter can be so tall that as long as they stay next to the ropes, they aren't in real danger of falling down? I don't know, but it seemed like that would happen multiple times during this fight. And Dengue had been saved during the first round. Would it happen again? Let's find out.
Quarterfinal number two of the K1 Max. Verdonk immediately bridging the gap. Powering inside. Jumping knee there from Silva. Switching stance again, the Brazilian. Nice leg kick to the back leg from Verdonk. Then goes the lead leg. Hit the common perineal nerve. The sweet spot that was the favourite target of Ernesto Hoost and Andy Sauer many moons ago. Inside leg from Verdonk. Big cracking outside leg kick to those lead quads. Dengue with the knee. Flush right hand lands. Sweat flew off the jaw. High knee! Big right hand from Dengue. Overhand from Verdonk. Daryl Verdonk can take a knock and come back. He is tenacious.
Verdonk was the clear aggressor in round two as well. And in a few moments, you'll hear Stuart and Michael give Verdonk the unofficial nod for the scorecard. However, Dengue had landed several solid blows causing damage, and despite the relentless barrage from Verdonk, the Brazilian continually countered, meaning Verdonk wasn't getting off scot-free. Midway into the second round, Dengue's low kicks and knees started scoring, and he started honing the range of his counters, and his teeps were keeping Verdonk off balance. But still, the momentum remained very much with Verdonk. And the longer I watched it, the less this fight started making sense to me. How are either of these people still standing? And no matter how much Verdonk battered Dengue, the giant would not fall. Every time he was in danger, he was saved by the ropes. Something as simple as a rope, you know? And while the mundane ropes aided Dengue, something supernatural seemed to be at work pushing Verdonk on. His willpower is almost otherworldly, which might explain his nickname, the Beautiful Werewolf. I mean, it was truly beautiful to behold. Moving on.
Measuring with that lead leg, Dengue Silva. Wants to throw that right hand though. Now throws it, short right to the jaw.
Dengue has not lost a fight since 2017, but right now, Daryl Verdonk is pressing him into the corner and putting it on him.
Jumping knee, tried to tuck it under the chin of Daryl Verdonk, but so far, Verdonk solving the riddle of the amazing reach of this human hang glider, this human albatross. Big left hand, smack bang! Power salvo from Verdonk at the overhand right. Body shots! Dengue got to get out of the corner off the ropes, and he does now. Daryl Verdonk letting old Nasty out of the bag here in the second round. Comes forward again for Verdonk, overhand left. The hands of Daryl Verdonk, ferocious.
No. The high kick, it tagged him. Silver's been stunned, but down goes the body. Here comes Daryl. Silver's hurt, he's on rubber legs. The skyscraper momentarily wavering. Daryl Verdonk unloading on Denge Silva, body and head. It's all one-way traffic. It's Daryl Verdonk down the autobahn.
Daryl Verdonk is firmly in the driver's seat right now. Denge has lost some power in all of his shots, but Verdonk himself just seems to be turning the dial up on his power.
Overhand right to a liver shot, doubles up to the liver. The man whose last name could be an onomatopoeia, Verdonk. And my word, did he donk him in that second round, Stuart?
He certainly did. He found a home for those punches. It's that forward pressure. He stayed pressing him. He stayed out of the range of those big long shots. He stayed wary of the jumping knees after one of them had landed. That one.
Unofficially, I'll go 10-9 for Donk first, 10-9 for Donk second, 2018 after two, which means Silver would need a knockdown to even it up in the third round.
Oh, Michael, you couldn't have called it any better. The only thing that Denge needed was a knockdown in the third round.
What a second round for Daryl Verdonk. He's got the garlic. He's got the crucifix. Now he just needs a stake through the heart of Denge Silva. Can he find it here? High kick from Silva. Looking for Donk, edging his way in again, backing Silva to the ropes, hits the body, the reddened, painted right side of the body of Denge Silva.
Verdonk has taken his medicine. He is refusing to catch the Denge fever here today.
Solid right hook from Verdonk, outside leg kick. Silva's got to use the reach here, got to use the knees, got to use the jab. All his God-given advantages have gone out the window because Verdonk has just been bullying him and abusing him. Wild, oh, a nice counter, a beautiful counter. And that's the knockdown he needed. That is the knockdown that evens up this fight. Verdonk got caught with a wicked counter. Danilo in the corner, waving the Brazilian flag. The jumping knee as he found his second win, Denge Silva. Verdonk is slow. Silva's going to go now. Spinning heel kick. Oh, Verdonk got caught again. And a high kick from Verdonk. Toe to toe. This is a war. These two savages going toe to toe in the final round. Overhand right, left hook, right hand again. Now Silva slowed down. And Verdonk swinging from the hips goes the body again.
Verdonk said before, this is his time to shine, and he has got just over 1 minute to do that.
Denge loads up on the left hand. Denge throws the knee. Silva in orthodox stance. Where's the overhand right? Verdonk on the inside. Didn't have the distancing with that hook off the right hand. It has been a war of attrition. Inside leg kick to the back leg from Verdonk. Clubbing right hand from Denge Silva. Thought about the knee, got caught. He telegraphed that one. The hands are low on Denge. What's Verdonk got left for the last 25 seconds in the well of guts and intestinal fortitude? No clinching, says the referee. Buckles the knees momentarily. No down though on Silva. Body head from Daryl Verdonk. Verdonk again. Verdonk! Verdonk! He caught him! Silva's wobbling! Silva's right for the picking! He's right for the picking! Verdonk almost dropped him! Crazy! I dare say it, Stuart. I've got it 28 points apiece. I've got it going in extension round.
Yep, it's certainly looking that way. The end of that third round there. Both men knew that they had to leave it all out there, but they both knew that they had to be cautious of each other because they're so very dangerous right up into the bell. Verdonk again choosing to stand, whereas Denge sat in his corner.
Jatsuyo Okada, 29-28.
To Denge.
Judge Ishimura, 29-28.
29-28.
Aka Tengu.
Tengu.
Judge Hakusaki, 29-28. Aka Tengu.
Same again, 29-28. It's a unanimous decision in favor of the Brazilian, who has just punched his ticket to the semifinals against Stoyan Koplovensky.
A tremendous battle that will long live in the memory. Daryl Verdonk, so reminiscent of his idol and his training partner, the great Albert Krause, the first ever K1MAX champion. And Tenge Silva will advance, but how much punishment did Tenge take? I'm sure Stoyan Koprivlinsky is smiling backstage. There's a cut just on the left cheek of Tenge Silva. There's battering around the body on the right side of Silva. He will face Stoyan Koprivlinsky in semi-final number one.
Well, everyone, that does it for this week's K1 Battlecast. I certainly hope that you enjoyed it. It's a bit of a different format, and it took me a little bit longer than I anticipated to edit it all. So sorry about the lateness of dropping this, but we will continue this with next week's episode. We're going to have Viktor Akhmov versus Romano Backboard, and also the highly anticipated bout between Kasper Mozhinsky and Zora Kopian. We hope you'll check it out next week. As always, you can follow us on our socials, send us an email, it's all in the show notes, and if you haven't checked out the pay-per-view, for goodness sake, order it now, you can still get it, it's on Triller and Stream Ticket, the details will be in the show notes. You're going to want to check it out if you missed it, because it was a wild day, and even if you know the outcome, you still don't know why it was that way. So I highly, highly recommend you check out the pay-per-view. I mean, or, you know, you could just jump in a time machine and go back to July 7th and check it out that way. Because, you know, yeah. Or you could just check out the pay-per-view. All right, everyone, have a wonderful week, and we will catch you next time.